Within the last 2 or 3 weeks, I had a couple emails and a phone call of people who have been listening to I don't know if you know it, but on our website, church website, there's 84 messages by my father on Revelation. And I've had three or four people who don't go to this church who have been listening to that. And I know they listened to all of them because they got to the end and they found out that 82, 83, and 84 are all the same. And they wanted the conclusion, but that's lost in antiquity because Galen Springer transcribed those from, or recorded those from cassettes and put them over on CDs. And we've destroyed this cassette, so we can't resurrect this. But my point is, one of the people who was communicating to me that they were listening to those messages on Revelation that were from early 80s, and probably at least 35, maybe 40, 45 years old, they said it sounded like you could have been saying it today. And that, and there's a lot of interest by Christians who eagerly anticipate the rapture. There's a lot of interest in Christians that I know in these future events. And I think that that's one of the reasons that we have so much material about in the New Testament about what happens when we're gone. Because we are here in the present. Know what's going to happen in the near future when we're gone. And that gives us a little better perspective, a much better perspective, it'd probably be more accurate, of viewing the current events and viewing the world system. The world system's going to be judged. And it's going to be judged perfectly for everything it's done wrong and the people in it. And the judgment is going to perfectly fit the crime. And as we look at that then, which I kind of tongue-in-cheek, but actually quite potentially view as events that are going to happen within the next 7 years, because the main thrust of this is that we'll be gone. Before we look at that, and Robert, I apologize, I should get these out to you earlier. You can do that during the prayer. Before we look at today's outline of the future, let's look to the one who determines the future, and that's God. That's our Father. We do thank you for this pre-written history. As we look at it, 40 years ago, it was concurrent to the times, but we, in our perspective, see that it's even more potentially the very near future and could happen at any moment. And we thank you for the point of view that as Christians we should have, that we don't watch for the Savior to return. We eagerly anticipate his return because our future tense salvation, part of which is that we'll be saved from the wrath that you will show when you judge the world and the world system. And we thank you for that. Amen. So, We're getting very near, and I'm going to go back and do a little review because the older Sunday school is up here. We'll just do this very briefly and fix it in time. The next thing on God's prophetic calendar that's revealed to us is the church will be gone. So everything we've been studying having to do with judgments is that the church is gone. When the church leaves, then the world system begins to be judged. And there's a very important time which occupies almost 70% of the book of Revelation is about these 7 years that is called the tribulation. These 7 years are described in somewhat great detail. It's divided into two halves of 3.5 years, the total being 7 years. This 7 years is going to be a judgment on the world system. It's going to purify the nation Israel. It's going to purify the land of Israel. It's going to purify the polluted temple in Jerusalem. It's going to devastate the land around Israel so that the new Jerusalem on earth, the new earthly Jerusalem, can be constructed. So these 7.5 years are very important. These 7.5 years, we call the tribulation from a concept in Scripture of being squeezed, occupy a good portion, this is important, of the major and minor prophets of the Old Testament. Almost every minor prophet, we get the Malachi, Amos, Nehemiah, Obadiah, all these, Daniel, all these minor prophets have huge sections that talk about this tribulation. And when we get over into the book of Matthew, Jesus, the last Old Testament prophet, spends a whole chapter 24 talking about this period of time. This period of time massages or purifies, makes ceremonially clean the earth so that afterwards Christ can come back and set up his 1,000-year kingdom. You hear about the kingdom. That's when it'll occur. Now, when we finished our study in the about the tribulation, we're going to get into that 1,000-year reign. That will bring us back to the 5th through 7th chapters of the book of Matthew so that we can understand the Beatitudes. We'll be able to understand that Sermon on the Mount. And when we apply it in the proper time, it makes perfect sense. Another thing that's being judged during this seven years of judgment is Satan and all of his works. Satan will be bound during this 1,000-year period afterwards. So that brings us to today. Now we've spent a lot of time on this. Let's get a little different color. Where the seal judgments are in the first half of the seven seal judgments, the vial, seven vials and six of the trump judgments are going to be in the second half of the tribulation. We're right near the end today when we look at the sixth trump and the sixth vial. And that brings us then to our study today. I want to tell you that I think we're within a month in terms of time as we look at this sixth trump and sixth vial. Remember that we've been able to place the order. This is the sixth set. And we can see that these two work in concert. Now, let me just tell you what we'll see today. When we look at the sixth vial judgment, it has to do with collecting the armies together. When we get to the sixth trump, the armies are already collected. So it doesn't take a whole lot of brain power to figure out that the sixth vial has to come before the sixth trump. Now, I'm going to show you where the first part of the sixth trump happens, and then the sixth vial goes here, and then the last part of the sixth trump. But we'll be able to do that for you, hopefully, as we look at that. So if you'll turn to Revelation, the 16th chapter, we've already presupposed and told you why we're going to cover the vial first. Now remember, this is another thing to remember. Although 70% of the book of Revelation is made up of the seven-year tribulation, it's as though God took those concepts and shuffled them up, because you have to have spiritual discernment to understand this. Because I say that to say this. This is Christian truth. This is not something to be taught to scare people into being Christians. This is Christian truth. This has to do with assurance in the future. I'm in Revelation 16, and I'm reading verse 12. And the sixth angel poured his vial. Now, remember these vials. If you look down, in this context, the last part of verse 19, these vials are ceremonial bowls. These ceremonial bowls contain the inner fuming, the inner burning of God in terms of judgment. When they're poured out, they demonstrate his anger, manifest anger. It's two different words. And so that's what's happening here. And the sixth angel, verse 12, poured out his ceremonial bowl upon the great river Euphrates. Now, just a little topographical information. And I'm going to draw this very, very roughly. In the eastern part of the Mediterranean, you have the nation Israel, the land of Israel. Never called Palestine in the Bible. I don't know why biblical scholars are always calling it Palestine. It's never called Palestine once. Palestine is a, it's a corruption of it's only referred to as part of it as Palestine. It should be referred to as the land of Israel. Now, above the land of Israel is the, I think we got a blue one here. We can do that. Well, we don't. Is the river Euphrates, which is called the Fertile Crescent. I didn't look it up, but this might be where the religion of peace gets their crescent. I don't know. But the river Euphrates then is kind of a natural barrier, which we're going to see, for the eastern kings and the eastern countries to come down and invade the nation Israel. So that's what's happening here. This river drying up then will allow access into the nation Israel. Back to the Revelation 16, verse 12. And that's what it's going to say. And the sixth angel poured out a ceremonial vial upon the river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way, or the road, of the kings. Now, it's not just the kings that are coming. They're bringing their armies. So now, when you read kings here, read leaders in their whole countries, because you're going to have armies that are going to number up into 200 million. So there's a bunch of them. And these are from the east, might be prepared. Verse 13, and I saw three unclean spirits. Now, we know these to be demons, because if you go down to verse 14, they are the spirits of the quality of demons. Demons are fallen angels, which are spirit beings. Now, they're going to be pictured. We've seen this multiple times in the book of Revelation. They're going to be pictured in pictorial form. In other words, because John's going to see this in a vision, they're not frogs, but there's something about them that has that, and we'll give you an indication of that in a minute. Verse 13, and I saw three unclean spirits. These are fallen beings, fallen angels. They're demons, like frogs. Now, why are they frogs? Because they're going to hop to the authority and power of the fake trinity of the Satan and the two wild beasts, first and second wild beasts, like frogs, come out of the mouth of the dragon. Now, put your finger here. When I say definition verse, I mean it. Go back to chapter 12 and verse 7. This is our definition verse that gives a lot of the very important titles of Satan and ties them all together. When you see a dragon in the book of Revelation, think the 12th chapter and the 7th verse. There's our definition. And war was in the heaven with Michael and his angels. Those are the elect angels that didn't fall, and fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought against, with his angels, and prevailed not. Who's the dragon? Go down to verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent. That links it back to Genesis 3, called the devil, the slanderer, and Satan, the enemy. So we know then, when we go back to the 16th chapter and the 13th verse, we know who this dragon is. Now, why would these three unclean spirits, one of which is coming out of the dragon? Well, obviously, it's under his authority. He tells it what to do, and it hops. Kind of like me. Barbara says, hop, and I say, how high? No. Okay. I had to get back at her because she made something on me yesterday. Okay. The dragon, middle verse 13, and out of the mouth of the beast. That would, if you mark in your Bible, that's the first beast of Revelation 13, the first wild beast. Remember, this word is for wild beast. Okay, keep reading. And out of the mouth of the false prophet. That's the second wild beast. So the second wild beast now is picking up a descriptive name and that is the same person, the false prophet. Both of whom get their empowerment from Satan. Turn back to the 13th chapter and the third verse. No, the fourth verse of the 13th chapter, talking about the first beast, wild beast of Revelation 13, called the man of sin. I'm in Revelation 13, 4. And they worshiped the dragon, that'd be Satan, and gave authority to the first wild beast of Revelation 13. Let's see, where is it that he gives the... it's back in verse 2. Right towards the last of verse 2. Last half. And the dragon gave unto the first beast, unto the first beast of Revelation 13, his, Satan's power, and his, Satan's throne. So this first beast of Revelation 13 is empowered by Satan. And then if you look down at verse 12, which is referring to the second beast, it says, and the second beast, exercises all the authority of the first beast when he's in his presence. So you have the fact that the first beast is empowered by Satan, and then the second beast is empowered by Satan when he's in proximity of the first beast. That's why over in the 16th chapter, all three of these, which I again say is a fake trinity, it breaks down. You can't take it too far because there's no example anywhere of what the Trinity is. The Trinity is three persons, but one essence. These are three persons, but they don't have one essence. So it's not, but you have some faking going on. And that brings us back to the 14th verse of chapter 16. The book of Revelation. And they goes back to the three spirits that came out at the beginning of verse 13, are the spirits of the quality of demons working sign miracles. Now a sign miracle points to something. It points to something supernatural. Sign miracles which go forth unto the kings, that would be the heads of countries, of the earth and of the whole world. So now all standing armies worldwide are going to be gathered together. This is going to be called the campaign of Lord God Almighty, which is a series, and my memory might be off a little bit, it's either six, five, or four battles, culminating in the final battle, which you have heard about, called Armageddon. But it's not all Armageddon. There's a whole bunch of battles that come there. Christ, when he comes back to put his human feet on Mount Olives in Jerusalem, kills the people, the armies that are around there, goes south. I'm putting this, refreshing my memory. Goes south to the north of Egypt, kills all the armies of first wild beast that have come down from Rome, circles around, comes up through Edom, and then comes back. There's another battle in Edom, then comes back up to Armageddon. So this is called the campaign. In fact, let's look there. The last part of verse 14 and the 16th chapter. You have in your King James battle. That should be campaign. It's a series of battles. The campaign of the great day of Lord God Almighty. Okay, let's go back. First part of verse 14. And these three are the spirits of demons working sign miracles which go forth to the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them together for the campaign of Lord God Almighty. Now, I'm going to tell you, Satan, let's do it this way. The humans are going to think it's their idea. The demons are going to think that they caused this gathering. Satan is going to think that he's the one that caused the gathering. And what does the last part of verse 14 say caused the gathering? The Lord God. In this context, that's the Son. So I want you to get that order. It's very important that you understand that. Verse 15. Now, we're not going to spend a lot of time on verse 15, but I will tell you this. When we get to the end of the tribulation, we're going to spend a lot of time on the descriptors of the second coming. We're going to start a list of watch, wait for, all that. We're going to go to the Old Testament and show you how they were to look forward to this. And then we're going to, in the morning service, when we get to looking at the rapture, we're going to take those two. This is one place I'm going to like columns. We're going to have a column that has the second coming, and we're going to have a column that has the rapture, and we're going to show you the differences. Because a lot of people get those mixed up, and there's a different attitude. But here's the attitude for people on earth during the tribulation, verse 15, the 16th chapter of the book of Revelation. Behold, I come as a thief. Whenever you see the word, we have over in 1 Thessalonians 5, thief in the night. You have that also in the Matthew. Thief in the night. That's not the attitude we have towards the rapture. This is a second coming verse. They're two distinct events, 7+ years apart, for two distinct reasons. Behold, I come as a thief in the night, or a thief, it doesn't say in the night here. Happy is the one that watches, and this has the idea of guard, watches and keeps his garments, in other words, stays righteous, lest he walk naked. In other words, not clothed in the... You keep your finger here. I'll show you what this means. Go back to the 7th chapter, I believe it is. Yes, it is. The 7th chapter. Now, this is the 14th verse. This is a verse that is at the end of the tribulation, looks back at the tribulation, people who are going into the millennium. And watch the pictorial language describing activity here. This is in the 7th chapter in the 14th verse. These are the people that come out of the millennium and are going into the, or come out of the tribulation going into the 1,000-year reign. Verse 14, 17 chapter. And I said unto him, Sir, who are these people? Okay, go back to verse 13. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? You see, they represent their righteousness. Where do they come? And I said unto him, Sir, you know. And he said unto me, these are they that coming out of the tribulation, the great one, out of the last half, and they have washed their robes and made them white on their own by the blood of the Lamb. So they believed the gospel for salvation during the tribulation. And that's what it's referring to over in the 16th chapter. And the 15th verse. Who would be watching for Jehovah to return to earth and set up his kingdom? Well, that's part of the gospel for salvation during the tribulation. It's not the same as ours. There's an addition to ours. Christ died for your sins, was buried. We'll spend some time on that maybe later. During the tribulation, Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. And now is seated in the third heaven and will come back to restore Israel, fulfilling all the promises of the Old Testament. In fact, I'm getting off the subject, but keep your finger here and go over to Luke. You thought, just to prove to you that that's what a good share of the Old Testament prophecy is, if you go to Luke the 2nd chapter, and this is Simeon Verse 25, the second chapter of Luke. And there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, expecting for the consolation or the comforting of Israel. And the Holy Spirit came upon him, not indwell him. And it was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's, the Christ. And Christ there means the Messiah coming back to rule. So the consolation or the restoration of Israel was prophesied all over the Old Testament. During the tribulation, they have to appropriate those promises as part of their plan of salvation. And that gives them the ability to not earnestly expect, but to wait like you wait for a thief in the night. A different attitude. Back over the 16th chapter and the 16th verse. Now, don't forget the protocol here. Men think it's their idea to gather together and go do this fight. And we'll get into the set of battles and why they occur. It's kind of interesting. They all go over there to fight because they're all hungry and upset and everything, and they want to take it out on each other, and they go, and they're really going after each other, and in fact, a third of the population gets killed. They're going after each other, and then they look up and they see Christ coming back, and they say, wait a minute, and I'm not as mad at you as I am at Christ, and they think they're going to thwart Christ. It's kind of an interesting concept. Now, back to verse 16 of the 16th chapter. And he there goes back to Lord God, God Almighty. Gathered them together. So here's our protocol. Men think it's their idea because they're mad at each other and they want to loot and plunder because they're hungry. And hunger is a great motivator. The demons think they're the ones that gathered them together, and they are agents to do that. Satan thinks it's his idea. The first wild beast of Revelation 13 thinks it's his idea. The second beast of Revelation 13 thinks it's his idea, a.k.a. the false prophet. And they do have a part. They are intermediate agencies. But whose idea was it? God's. And he, verse 16 chapter, gathered them together in a place in the Hebrew tongue called Armageddon. That's going to be the final battle of the series of five battles. It could be six. I can't remember right now, and I've got all my notes. I'm doing all this from memory because everything's packed. Could be six. But it's kind of interesting to me. Even though I don't have any resource to draw upon, I just go back to the Bible and get it from there. It comes out about the same anyway. And the final battle is going to be Armageddon, where Christ stomps the winepress. And people are pictured like grapes being stomped on by Italian women barefoot in a vat. Okay. Now that's the sixth vial. Turn over to the ninth chapter and we'll get the sixth trump. And you can see how they're in concert with one another. Verse 13, ninth chapter of the book of Revelation. And the sixth angel sounded or blew his trumpeted it. And I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is in before God. Now, I had a question, and it really got me thinking, and this verse answers the question. I had a question. If the church is sequestered, as we've looked previously, for the second half of the tribulation, and we saw that over in the 15th chapter in the 8th verse, does the church know all this stuff is going on? And the answer, one of the verses that answer that question is here. Where is the golden altar in the tabernacle? And by the way, I had a guy try to go recently, go to the Temple of Solomon and say a lot of things about the third heaven. But if you read the book of Hebrews, it's real clear. It's the tabernacle that is a roadmap of the heavens, not Solomon's temple. There's a distinction there. Because Solomon's temple is more ornate and has more stuff, so we don't even know what that symbolizes. But going back, we have two verses over in Hebrews that say that the earthly tabernacle, tent, was a roadmap of the heavens. Where is the golden altar of incense in the tabernacle? On the outside of the veil, not in the Holy of Holies. So where is this angel trumpeting? Outside of the Holy of Holies. Where is the church? In the Holy of Holies. So they are sequestered.
I just love Scripture. I just love how it's all there. It's all there. Verse 13, ninth chapter. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is outside the veil, not in the Holy of Holies. This is the golden altar of incense, right in front of the veil, which is before God. Saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpets. So he's outside the veil. He's in the edge of the second and third heaven. Loose the four angels. Now this is four angels, which are bound not in, but at the great river Euphrates. Now here the river seems to still be full. So watch it. Right between verses 14 and 15, that's where the sixth trump goes. Got it? So the river's full, verse 14. By verse 15, it's empty because the armies are going to start moving. That's where the sixth vial goes. Let me say it another way. If you mark in your Bible, put sixth vial goes here, right between verses 14 and 15. Verse 15 of the ninth chapter. And the four angels were loosed, which having prepared for an hour, a day, a month, and a year, to slay one-third a part of one man. Now that comes, if a 30-day lunar calendar of a 30-day month of a lunar calendar comes out to 391 days. Now I don't know why we have this information, but here's a guess. Now do you hear me? I do not have a verse. This is what we call best guess. So we got 391 days. Where does the 391 days go back to? Which is a little over a year, if my math is correct. Where does it go back to? Well, what happens in the last half of the tribulation that could be about a year before this? If you recall, last week, in the ninth chapter. Look back in the ninth chapter. What happens under the fifth trump? All the demons are loosed out of that have been incarcerated are loosed out of the sides of the abyss, right? Remember that last week? Somebody say yes. Yeah, okay. So, my best guess is this 391 days goes back to the fifth trump. Now, remember the fifth trump, when all these demons are loosed, it's such a terrible time that they're only allowed to cause havoc and act like scorpions, put boils on people where they have the mark of the beast and all that for 5 months. That means that the earth gets a reprieve of 7 months, if this is true, before the sixth trump occurs. What we're saying, I think this places the fifth trump about a little over a year before the end of the tribulation, because we'll see that the sixth trump and sixth vial are very shortly before Christ's return. Okay, enough of that. That's all speculation. That's the kind of stuff when I'm out feeding the animals I think about. And by the way, when you're thinking that kind of stuff, you're not thinking the wrong stuff. So it's good to get those things in your mind. Okay, here we are back over in the ninth chapter of the book of Revelation, verse 15. And the four angels were loosed, so they had been bound. Now, remember when all those demons come out of the sides of the abyss,
Satan's going to try and use them as his cohorts and his minions, but God says, no, you cannot mess around with the elect. You have to mess around with unsaved. Verse 15, and the four angels were loosed, and having been prepared for 391 days for to slay a third part of men. Keep your finger here. Go back to the sixth chapter of the book of Revelation. And if you'll look at the middle of verse 8, one-fourth of all human beings are killed there. So if my math is correct, I think we're talking about the fact right now we have 8 billion people. Under the fourth seal, one-fourth of that, one-fourth of 8 is 2, right? Are killed. Now we get over here to the sixth trump and one-third. Well, what do we got left? We've got 6 left, and we take out 2 more. So a total, if we do our math right, you see, I remember common denominator and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, okay. That one half of the human population has been killed by the time we get here. That brings us back to the ninth chapter. Verse 16, and the number of the armies of the horsemen were 200,000. That's 200 million. It's a lot of people. During Paul's time, or during John's time, that would have been a number that wouldn't be, you couldn't think about that or conceive that. Now it makes sense. Okay? It could be translated myriads of myriads as well. And I heard the number of them, but I think it should be translated 200 million because of that I heard the number. Myriads of myriads just means a whole bunch. Okay? So I think the numbers there are correct. Now, here's a pivotal verse to understand the book of Revelation, verse 17. And I saw the horses of the vision, so he's going to see everything. Now, I'm going to read it. I'm not going to comment on it, but verses 17 and 18, to me, describe modern warfare with pictorial language and 2,000-year-old vocabulary. Listen to it as I read it. And I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat upon them having breastplates of fire and of red that are red. Brimstone is a sulfurous smell. Anybody here ever shoot a gun, maybe? Or are you all wimps? Okay, if you shoot a gun, you know that smell afterwards? That's this smell. Okay, sulfurous smell. Brimstone, and the heads of horses were as the heads of lions. And out of their mouths issued fire and smoke. I always thought that sounded kind of like a Abrams tank. I don't know. You make up your own mind. Fire and smoke. The smoke, I do believe, goes back to the second verse that has the of this chapter that has the demons so thick that they're smoke. So they're out there and brimstone. Verse 18, and by these was killed one-third of men were killed by the fire, the smoke, and the sulfurous smell which issued out of their mouth. For it is the authority is in their mouth, or their, and that has to do with the commands, and in their tails. Again, describing modern warfare. For their tails were like unto serpents, now no longer scorpions, now serpents, and their heads are on the back end of the tail. The head is on the tail. With them do hurt. And the rest of men which were not killed in these plagues yet repented not of their works of their hands, nor sure they stopped their work. And by the way, that you'd read this on your own because of time. It's going to go into a whole list, and all of these are spiritual wickedness. All this judgment is not for physical crimes. It's for spiritual crimes. Read that on your own because of time. Our Father, we do thank you for your word. And we do appreciate that you will judge perfectly. And we anticipate being co-rulers with your Son during the millennium, where we'll be able to be in awe every day when we see our Savior perfectly judge the world. And we thank you for that.